together. So good to be in His presence. There's nothing like the presence of God. You know, the world that we live in, there will always be a counterfeit. There will always be a substitute. There will always be something else that people will tell you you can go to, but there is no substitute for the Spirit and the presence of God. There's nothing else like it. Amen. It's so wonderful. Praise God. If you have your Bibles tonight, would you turn with me to the book of Acts? Chapter 16, verses 25 through 33. It's the book of Acts 16, 25 through 33. Just give everybody a second to turn there. Man, if all goes according to plan, I won't be very long at all tonight. Those of you laughing know that what I just said means absolutely nothing. Rather, it may or may not mean anything. Amen. Acts 16, 25 through 33. Let's all read it together this evening. It says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.' Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' And they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house.' And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway." Amen. Let's take a moment and pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for your presence tonight. Thank you for your presence in this place right now. Lord, I give you praise today. I pray that you would help me to speak your word. God, help me to speak it as you would have it, and Lord, not as I would have it. And I pray that you'd help us all, me included, to be eager recipients of your word. God, speak in our hearts tonight and lead us closer to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And you all may be seated this evening. Well, bless God. Tonight I want to continue the series that we've been in on a culture of series. It's been awesome. We've looked at a culture of victory and how we have victory in this world. We've looked at having a culture of Pentecost, that we need to be Pentecostal in everything that we do in our beliefs. Tonight we're taking a look at a culture of praise, that we need to be a people who is ready at all times to praise the Lord. We need to be ready, no matter what is going on, to praise the Lord. It's who we are. We have a history and a heritage of praise. One of the main things that Pentecostals are known for across the world is our tendency to praise the Lord. And when we do, to get a little bit excited, to get a little bit loud, to get a little bit amped up, and that's how it should be. Amen. We have a reputation. Did you know that? I don't know if you knew, but people think of Pentecostals a certain way. When people think of Pentecostals, they don't think of people who sit quietly, never make a sound, and never move a muscle. That's not our reputation. Our reputation is that when we come into the presence of Almighty God, something begins to happen, that we get a little more excited about it than you might think is acceptable. We get a little bit more riled up than people might think is acceptable. It's who we are. That's how it should be. From the earliest days of the modern Pentecostal movement, today we still talk about the Azusa Street Mission in Los Angeles and what happened there, how there were miracles and people getting the Holy Ghost and praise was high and they didn't even need instruments to be ushered into the presence of God because people said that they could hear the voices of the angels singing in their services. I don't know if that's true or not. But what I do know is they were praising the Lord with all that they had. If we look back further to the day of Pentecost, when the 120 were gathered in the upper room, the followers of Jesus received the Holy Ghost, and they got so loud that a crowd began to gather outside the place that they were. They heard them outside and thought that they must have been drunk. These guys have dipped in to the good stuff. Surely they're drunk. Listen to them. Listen to what's going on in this building. We can hear them from outside. They are this close to getting a disturbing the peace warning. To those who haven't experienced Pentecostal praise, it can seem a little bit unusual. It can seem a little bit out of the ordinary, even a little bit crazy. But the fact of the matter is, we're not crazy. We're perfectly rational individuals, but we just love Jesus enough that we don't care who's looking, that when it's time to praise the Lord, something rises up inside of us that says, suddenly I'm excited about where I'm at and what we're doing. Because if Jesus is involved, I want to be there. If people are praising the Lord, I want to be there. If church is hopping, I want to be a part of it. We just love Jesus. It's who we are. And when you love someone, you find a way to express it. You find a way to say it. You find a way to let them know that you feel it. You find a way. We just went through Valentine's Day. I'm sure many in this room found a way to express their love. But when you're a Christian, when you're a believer, every day should be Valentine's Day for God. Every day we should find a way to express our praise, our worship, our love for our Savior. Whether things are going smooth or things are too tough to handle, we need to be a people that has a culture of praise. It has to be at the very core of who we are. Paul and Silas had every reason to think that things were hopeless. They'd been beaten, whipped, accused, thrown in jail. They could have dipped their heads and given up and said, well, we tried to do good. We tried our best. And look what happened. We got thrown in jail. What did Paul do? All he really did was cast a demon out of a woman. That's not exactly what he got in trouble for, though. What he actually got in trouble for was ruining the livelihood of the idol makers. That's what he really got in trouble for. Because people started to believe in Jesus now, and suddenly buying idols is a lot less appealing when Jesus is actually God. And so they said, well, this guy is infringing on our profits. We need to do something about this guy. It wasn't even really a spiritual issue. And before you think too harshly about these idol makers, imagine if your source of income suddenly vanished. It's a pretty hard day. But they got upset. They still did the wrong thing. They decided to get rid of him the easy way and just throw him in the prison, in the jail, in the dungeon. And he could have gotten depressed and said, you know what, we tried to do good, we tried to serve the Lord, that didn't work out, look where it got us. Instead, they picked up their praise and they had a little midnight worship session. They had a little prayer meeting. They decided, okay, things are looking their absolute darkest right now, so what are we going to do? We're going to go back to God again and praise Him some more. When things couldn't have gotten any worse, beaten, accused, jailed, praise the Lord. Sometimes we stub our toe and wonder how God could have let it happen. Lord, that's my toe. Why me? I don't deserve this, Lord. My toe. And I'm joking, of course, but sometimes aren't we like that? When circumstances come our way and we don't know how to deal with it, our tendency is to try to fix it ourselves and say, God, why? How could this happen to me? Lord, what's going on? But why don't we instead have a mentality of Paul and Silas and say, when things are at their darkest, when there's no way that I can see for this to work out, guess what? I'm still going to be praising the Lord because He's still worthy of it. No matter what is going on in life, God is still good and still worthy of praise. Even if you're having a bad day, it's still the day that the Lord has made, and you've still got a reason to rejoice and be glad in it. You've still got a reason to look to the heavens because you know where your help comes from. It comes from the Lord. If He made heaven and earth, surely He's big enough to take care of whatever you're going through. No matter what is going on, good, bad, terrible, God is still good and still worthy of our praise. He's still good. One of the things that praise does for us is it brings joy in our lives. Praise is a great way to restore your joy. Psalms 30, 11, and 12 says, Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to Thee and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto Thee forever. When I think about God and what He does for me, it helps me to be a little bit glad. If I'm feeling a little bit depressed, a little down on myself, when I begin to praise the Lord, there's something about praise that brings joy in our lives. I remember the very first time I felt the Holy Ghost in my life, the very first time. The rest of the day, if you knew me back then, you would have said, that is a miserable young man. That guy is miserable. He's got no joy. I remember after the first time I felt the Holy Ghost in my life, you would have thought I was a completely different person. You wouldn't have recognized who that person was, because I tell you, it put a smile on my face that I can't even describe to you. It was like night and day. And that's the experience that I have continued to have with the Holy Ghost. That when I'm feeling down or depressed, I can praise the Lord and I can start to sing. And when things are going terrible, I can still lift up a song and say, Oh, how great Thou art. And something about it takes my situation and takes that out of the way and helps me remember who it is that I serve. We praise the Lord because He's good. But when you get some worship music going and begin to praise the Lord, it starts to turn your attitude into gratitude. It starts to do something to you that you might not have expected. We praise the Lord because of what He's done for us. God does great things in our lives. More fundamentally than that, though, we praise God because of who He is. We do praise the Lord because of the things that He does, but more fundamentally, it's because of who He is. He is our Savior. He is the Holy One. He is the everlasting God. And He is worthy of praise simply because of who He is. Our praise also needs to come from our heart. It's not enough to say the words. It's not enough just to lift our hands because it's what we do. It's not enough to go through the motions when it comes to praise. Praise has to come from our heart. Matthew 15 and 8, Jesus spoke about the people that draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. We never want to be that people that worships with our mouth, worships with our lifting our hands, but our heart is not in the right place. Our praise needs to come from the depths of our hearts, not a routine. Our praise needs to come from a deep, loving relationship with God. Not just our love of loud noise and exciting music and exciting services. Those things are great, but if that's all we've got, we've missed the point. Those things are good, but if that's all we have, we've missed it. Our praise needs to come from a love of Jesus that's at our core. It needs to come from a love of our Savior. And I also want to point out that there's a difference between forcing it and faking it. Okay, there will be days that you don't feel like praising the Lord. There's going to be hard days in life when you don't feel like getting to church and lifting your hands and opening your mouth. There's going to be days when you don't feel like praising. But just because you don't feel like it, it doesn't disqualify you from doing it. When you don't feel like praising, you need to realize that you still can, because God is still worthy no matter how you feel. You don't have to worry about being a fake or a phony or a fraud just because you don't feel like praising. That's not the reality of the situation. When you understand how great God is, you might not feel like it on a given day, but you still know it to be true. You still know that God is still good. He's still seated on the throne. He's still unchanging. He's still the same today as he was yesterday. And so if God is still worthy of my praise, then I'm still not disqualified from giving it. Praise brings freedom in our lives as well. Paul and Silas were behind bars, but when they lifted their voices and sang and worshiped and praised God, what happened? The earth shook and the bars were taken out of the way. God responded to their praise in a very real way. In our lives, the bars that we face are seldom so literal. But what do your bars look like tonight? Let me ask you. From time to time, we all stare at prison bars, but often they're not real. Usually, there's something that's holding us back and stopping us from being free. But our prisons are usually in our minds, in our heads. The prisons that we fight and struggle against are often our own mental blocks. When your head tells you that you're just not good enough, that's a prison. And when you begin to praise, you realize that, well, I may not be good enough, but Jesus is good enough. When you feel like you can't do something, you're not able to do it, and you begin to feel that lack of self-confidence, but you begin to praise the Lord, and you begin to realize, I may not be able to, but Jesus can. He can do something where I can't. You might feel like nobody cares about you and feeling depressed, but when you start to praise the Lord, suddenly you remember that there's a God in heaven who cares about you more than he cares about all the sparrows of the earth and everything else that he created. He loves you so much. When you begin to praise the Lord, it begins to turn every situation around. It begins to bend the bars and take them out of the way so that you can be free. See, we need to make our praise about what Jesus can do and who he is, and not about our inadequacies. We all have them. We all fall short in certain areas. But when we put our focus on Jesus and just what he can do, it helps us to see that there is a way, there is a hope, there is a truth that we know, that we have, that we believe in, that we need to share with people. See, we need to make our praise about God, and it puts things in perspective. And when we get things in perspective, it helps to set us free from our mental prisons. Matthew 18:20, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them, he said. When you get together in my name, I'm going to be there with you. And 2 Corinthians 3:17 tells us what happens when Jesus shows up. When Jesus moves into a situation. When we get together and pray in the name of the Lord. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Liberty. So I want to tell you tonight that you might feel like you've been in a prison. You might feel like you've been trying to get free and struggling against bars and shackles that are holding you back. But when you get in the presence of God, and when Jesus is in your situation, when you begin to praise him and call on the name of the Lord, you know he's going to show up for you. He's a present help in time of trouble, not a distant help. The Bible didn't say that, you know, God is going to be close to you sometimes, but far away at other times. He said he's a present help in trouble. He's a God close at hand. And when God works in your situation, he will set you free like nothing else can set you free. I've heard people who do drugs describe the effect of drugs and say, wow, it's like flying, man. Wow, it feels great, man. I have never once heard a drug addict say, drugs set me free from my prison. I have never once heard a drug addict say that drugs brought me true joy and a peace that passes understanding. But I've heard loads and loads of believers who will testify to you today that Jesus Christ set them free when nothing else could work. That Jesus Christ was the Savior they were looking for when everything else did not work. So I want to conclude with this evening. Paul and Silas had the faith to sing and to praise God, and prison bars couldn't hold them back, couldn't stay locked because of the power of God that showed up when they praised. But if you look at the story, Paul and Silas were in a bad situation, yes, but in some ways, they were still in an okay situation. They were saved. They knew the Lord. They could still praise despite their circumstances. The way I see it, the real winner that day was the Philippian jailer. The real winner that day was the guy who for the first time in his life, came to know a Savior that could help him. After that happened in that prison, he looked at these two guys. His prisoners, what does it take for a jailer, the guy who's in charge of the jail, to go to two of his prisoners and say, what do I have to do to be saved? Wow. Because he and his family got the opportunity to be free from the prison of sin and got to take part in a culture of praise himself. He was about to kill himself. But Paul stopped him and told him there was no reason for it. He said, jailer, you don't have to kill yourself. We're all still here. I've heard it said that that was a great miracle that day, that the prisoners didn't take off. This man was about to kill himself. And Paul let him know, hey, Jesus can help you more than that sword ever could. Ever could. That shame that you're feeling, you don't have to feel that way because I've got a Savior who can help you out. The jailer got a chance to see how good God is, how the Lord provides, how many reasons there are that he's worthy of our praise. Amen. If you could come back to the music, and if we could all stand tonight. He got to see for himself that praise is beautiful. That when we praise the Lord, when we open our mouths and give God glory, when we lift our hands to the heavens to say how great God is, when we begin to get a little bit excited and riled up about Jesus and how good he's been, that jailer got to experience that for himself and how beautiful it is. When we praise the Lord, doesn't make sense to the world. See, the world might look at the Pentecostal believers and say, oh, those Pentecostals, those holy rollers. Do you know where we got the name holy rollers? People used to roll on the ground. It's not a figurative moniker, it's very literal. People used to roll. Because they got so excited about Jesus. I'm not saying you have to roll here tonight. But I am saying there should be something in your heart that's got to reach out and give God praise for how good he's been. It won't make sense to the world. It won't look normal or usual. But in the eyes of the Lord, the praises of those who've been transformed are beautiful. And the Bible teaches us that he inhabits the praises of Israel, or his people. When we praise the Lord, he looks at it and says, that's my home. That's where I inhabit. Those are my people. Psalm 147 and 1 says, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. I don't have a complicated altar call tonight. I just want to encourage you to take some time to praise the Lord. And wherever your praise has been at, to take it to the next level. That the Lord is always worthy of more praise. If your praise has dropped in intensity recently, I want to encourage you, invite you to bring it back up again. If you've been praising the Lord, you feel like shouting a little louder, I want to let you know you don't have to hold it back. Don't hold back your praise. If at any point you feel like dancing a little bit, don't hold it back. Give God your praise. If you feel like lifting your hands a little higher than you normally do, just because for some reason today I gotta reach out, don't hold it back. Don't hold back your praise from God, because praise is not about what others think about you, but it's about what you think about Jesus. It's not about the prying eyes that are looking around the room. It's about you and God and how good he's been to you. And if he's been good to you and you got breath in your lungs, then you ought to give him the praise that he's so worthy of. Oh my God, you're awesome and wonderful. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I got to end with Psalm 150. The final verse of the book of Psalms says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. If you've got breath in your lungs tonight, there should be something inside of you that says, I got to lift my praise. I got to lift my praise. Amen.